Thank you for joining me today. You have found the Third Space podcast, and I'm your host, Bob Fady. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about dignity and language. Whenever you Google the word dignity, all sorts of things come up when you talk about what that means, how people look at it. A lot of times you'll see a maybe like a die with dignity or something like that. It's associated with healthcare and taking care of people and that kind of thing. And when I think about dignity, I think about inherent value, or I think about the worth of a person. Because I'm a Christian, I view it as, you know, people are endowed by their creator with God-given value. So I don't really care what socioeconomic status you have. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care which country you are born in, which religion you are. It has nothing to do with that for me. What I think it has to do with is the value that God has placed in people by virtue of them being created in his image and being human. And so dignity for me is something that's intrinsic in just human beings, period. And I think the importance of it is obvious, because we live in a world where everything we do, everything we say, every interaction we have has an opportunity to either instill dignity or remove dignity from other people. And as I kind of think about it from my own experiences, I think about being with those who are far less fortunate than I am. I think about people who were born in a different place than I was. And just by virtue of their birth, they have a different socioeconomic challenge than I have. And I think particularly about those in Rwanda. And I think, okay, well, why are they any different than I am in terms of their worth? And they're simply not. And I'll give you an example. When I was teaching, I was looking for something to do during the summers. And this was kind of at the beginning of Uber's rise, before it has become all that Uber is now. But we had taken a trip and we Ubered around, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is so great. I'm going to have to do this when we get back. So I get back and I start Ubering during the summertime. And it was great because I had an opportunity to interact with lots of folks. And I picked up this one couple, and they were pretty quiet. They spoke English with a really strong accent. And I asked them, hey, where are you guys from originally? And they were a little reluctant to answer, but they said, well, you know, Africa. And I said, hey, really? I said, that's great. I said, I love Africa. and they were kind of like, okay, whatever. And I said, well, where from? And they said, well, you won't know, you know, a little tiny country. I said, really? Well, where? And they said, well, East Africa. And I said, well, I have been to East Africa a couple times. Where are you from? And they said, Burundi. And Burundi happens to be just south of Rwanda, neighboring Rwanda, where I've been. And they share a common language, which is Kinyarwandan. And I said, I was like, oh my gosh, that's great. And then I said, Moraho, which is hello in Kinyarwandan. And they had both previously been looking at their phones and kind of maybe not trying to have a conversation with me. And both their heads picked up. I could see in the rearview mirror, and their eyes were just gigantic. And they just looked at me and I said, Amakuru, which means, how are you? And they were just dumbfounded. And they said immediately in Kinyarwandan, and the man said to me, how do you know Kinyarwandan? And I said, well, I don't know the language well, but I've traveled there a few times and I really love East Africa, and I love Rwanda, and I love love the language. I mean, it was just kind of like, this is really great. And he was floored, and he said, we are such a tiny country and we're not important. Why do you go there? Why do you know our language? How do you know our people? I mean, just intensely interested all of a sudden in the fact that I knew anything about his culture, or where he's from, or all that kind of stuff. And I explained to him, I said, well, you know, I have a friend who's from there. She actually lives with our family. And I have found Rwanda and East African people to be incredibly beautiful. And we had a great conversation. But it started off by, you know, obviously my curiosity and that kind of thing. But what I found about dignity is that when we give it away, it means so much to the people around us. It means so much. So all of a sudden, this young couple who got in my car realized that they weren't alone in this country, or that the people in this country actually know about their country or have any thoughts or cares about it. And more than that, that it was like, hey, we connected, you know, and then because of that connection, we matter. And it was really, really fun. I called my wife and I said, hey, you won't believe what just happened. You know, it was really great. And I found that language is one of the greatest ways to instill dignity in people. If you can know, even just know how to say hi to somebody in their native language, that's really meaningful. I'm always grateful when somebody who's not from an English speaking country tries to speak English, broken or however it may be, but they're taking the effort to do that. That is very honoring to me. I always think, man, thank you for taking the time. And I have found, for instance, when and I am really bad at this. My friends who are Spanish speakers can attest to this, but I have found that when I try to speak Spanish, I slaughter the language. I don't do it justice. And people are super generous about that. They'll smile. They kind of know what I'm trying to say, and maybe they'll correct me, or maybe they won't, but they're really grateful. And I think, man, you know, this little thing between us, this language barrier, if I can make an effort to just try to say hello in your language, man, it actually takes down barriers and it instills dignity. And I really think that's critical. And as I have been fortunate enough to travel in different areas of the world, and I have found that if you make the effort, people respect that and they're grateful for that. And so I always try to do that. And again, I mean, there was a time where, for instance, I will tell a story on myself about this. We had spent time in the former Soviet Union. We were in Russia, and I have enough Russian on the hard drive to be able to kind of get around and make massive mistakes and offend people in my Russian language, which I hope never to do. But when you spend a little bit of time speaking another language, it kind of stays forefront on your hard drive. And we were traveling back home by way of Paris, and we had time to go visit the sites. And I thought, man, this would be great. I'm going to go. And we had a team of us. And so we were going to go see the Eiffel Tower. And in French, you don't really call the Eiffel Tower the Eiffel Tower. But I was like, okay, well, that's what I'm going to call it. And people will probably get that. And so I was on the train and I was kind of rehearsing in my mind. And I don't even know how to really say where it is other than Ousson, which I have been told is not correct. But it's caveman French, and that's about what I have. So I'm on the train, and I'm saying over in my head, Ousson, le tower du Eiffel. And for those of you who speak French and you're listening, please forgive me. But I knew that I could at least try that much and that they would understand what I'm trying to say. So I'm on the train and I'm going over this in my head, and I have some Russian on the hard drive, and I had studied Spanish previously, and I'm, you know, just trying to make sure I got this sorted out. So I go up to the, I get off the train and I walk up this, go up the escalator and I see the information kiosk. And so I kind of like put my head down and take a deep breath and clap my hands together and kind of go, okay, muster up my courage. And I say, stride up to the person behind the mirror, the glass there. And I say, instead of saying, bonjour, I say, privet. And they kind of look at me and I was like, oh no, that's Russian. And then I was like, hola. They're just staring at me and I'm like, oh no, that's Spanish. And then I was looking at them with this panicked look on my face and they go, are you English? And I just put my head down. I said, yes. And they said, how can I help you? And I was like, Eiffel Tower. And they go, that way. It was just a slaughtered moment where I was trying to make this effort to be culturally sensitive, or at least to be relevant, or at least to say to them, hey, you matter. And I want to try to speak your language because I'm in your country and I think that matters for you. And so it was a complete fail on my part. But the reality is that wherever I went in France, that people were really kind and generous when I would say bonjour or I would try to ask for something in French. Nobody looked down their nose at me and nobody gave me a hard time. I think where I have seen people getting a hard time is when the ugly American syndrome comes out. And I've watched, frankly, it's been Americans, Canadians in part. I can say that in all honesty, but mostly it's Americans who are not as attentive to the cultural nuances that occur overseas. And so they will ask questions like, why don't people speak English here? Or they're not attentive about their volume, all sorts of things. And so there's this thing they call the ugly American syndrome, where you can spot a group of Americans a long ways away because they're maybe less aware of their surroundings. And to be sure, not all Americans are like that, but it happens. And all of us have cultural biases, and all of us have ego ethnocentrism, where you know, we're just thinking about ourselves, or at least we're thinking about ourselves primary. In any event, when I'm overseas, I work very hard at speaking the language because I know what that means to those people, and especially in places where they may be very surprised that somebody is taking the time to value them and to value their language. And I just think of that as just one way that dignity can go forward is if you value somebody, if you value them to the degree that says, hey, look, you were made in God's image, and so was I. We're on the same level here. You speak a different language. Why can't I be the first one to try to learn from you? Why can't I try to learn what it means to maybe tear down a little bit of the wall that might exist between our worlds and just try to say hello? Maybe just try to say hello in your native tongue. And if you get rebuked or corrected, you know, take it as it is. But dude, try it. Just try it. Try that just once. You know, I had people over to our home who, you know, are Spanish speaking, and I will generally say, you know, do you speak Spanish? And they will say yes, and I'll say something like, you know, I'm sorry that my Spanish is so bad. I'll try to say this in Spanish. But you know, thank you for being here. And there's a million ways to do that. And you probably know people around you who don't speak your language. You know, make the effort to learn how to say hello to them in another language, as difficult as it can be. And even if you make yourself look silly, I think it's a great way for people to understand how much you value them. And just kind of increase dignity just a little bit in them. And maybe we learn to take ourselves a little less seriously, take our eyes off ourselves. But I think it's a critical way to go forward. I think it's a critical way, maybe not just in foreign language, but in even in other ways, How can I talk to other people in a way that makes sense to them? They may be English speakers, but they don't kind of use the same language you do. Well, maybe we can work hard at learning somebody else's language and not insisting that they come to our side to speak the way that I talk. And so it's just something to think about, and in a way that I've seen dignity increase, and to see kind of a better way forward of being with people. So give it a shot. You know, let me know how it goes. Leave a comment or shoot me a message on Facebook or Instagram and Twitter. You can find me in all those places. I have a website. Maybe that's where you found this podcast. It's bobfaby.com. It's from there you can book me as a speaker. I actually do have booked my first speaking opportunity of this year already. I'm grateful. But you can find me there. Ask me questions. Leave comments. Would love to hear from you. And as always, with all of you, I want to say this. You are so worthy of dignity. And you are so worthy of worth and of value. And I pray and hope that you find that today. Thank you so much for listening, and many, many blessings. We'll be right back.